Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization that is dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible to everyone. Alhamdulillah, Qalam has been able to serve so many people all across the world in so many ways. And now, Qalam has the opportunity and the ability to take its work to the next level. Qalam now has the ability to expand its offerings to people all across the world in so many different ways. Qalam is acquiring a campus, a home, where we can continue to do the work that we do and in fact increase what we do. But we need your help, we need your support to make that dream a reality. Go to QalamCampus.com and donate generously. Every single person listening to this podcast, benefiting from Qalam, I need you to go there and donate and share that link far and wide. And let's all of us come together, invest into our sadaqah jariyah, and take this work to the next level. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Now enjoy the podcast.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wassalam ala rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma kfina bi halalika an haramik wa agnina bi fadlik amman siwak ya wasi al maghfira. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering that is beneficial for the qulub, a gathering that is beneficial for the hearts. MashaAllah. Allahumma nawwir qulubana bi nuri ma'rifatik. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with light due to what we learn, inshallah. May Allah make that a reality, inshallah. Okay, bismillah walhamdulillah. In our last session, we ended off Imam Muhasibi. He said, وَإِنَّكَ لَا تَنَالُ مَا تُرِيد إِلَّا بِتَرْكِ مَا تَشْتَهِ. Before I begin, one thing that I want to highlight is these, Ibn Ata'illah al-Askandari, he says, as I mentioned last week, he says, al-ibarat qutu al-qulub lil-mustami'in. He says that expressions and words that are said, they are qut. Qut means like livelihood. It's like your daily provisions, what you need just to survive. Qut al-qulub. And I think we all need to realize how important it is for us to have a constant flow of righteous words that are coming to our heart, right? A constant flow of righteous words that are coming to our heart, just as a reminder. And I was talking to a friend of mine who called me for advice. I was like, don't feel bad. I literally just got off the phone with someone I called for advice. I was like, I literally just got off the phone, and all I needed from that person was to be reminded about realities that we all know to be true, but the dunya is such that it just makes us forget. And so it's like sometimes you come to these gatherings and you really didn't learn anything new, but you feel recharged. Like your perspective is regained, and now you're able to challenge that week. You're ready to go. You're ready to grind. You're ready to grow. And so that's, I just wanted to say before I begin, like, I'm reading this stuff, and you know, Frederick Douglass, right? He has this saying, a man is worked on by what he works on. A man is worked on, woman too, sisters. A person is worked on by what they work on. And so for me, like going over this stuff, man, it's just such a beautiful reminder. And for us to sit every week, however many, you know, 70, 80 of us, 100 of however many are here to sit and talk, it's just such a beautiful reminder. So we ask Allah, whatever we learn, to make it a reminder for our hearts and give us strength to push through this dunya, push through this week until that next step, inshallah ta'ala. All right, let's go forward. Bismillah. So the last thing that we went over, Imam Muhasibi, he was dropping gems last week. He said, وَإِنَّكَ لَا تَنَالُ مَا تُرِيدْ إِلَّا بِتَرْكِ مَا تَشْتَهِ. Beautiful line. Imam Muhasibi, he says, indeed, you will never get what you turid. Arada yuridu means desires. إِلَّا بِتَرْكِ, except when you're able to give up مَا تَشْتَهِ, which your nafs desires. That's what we did last week. And so we said that you always have to understand that when the heart is filled with a love, when the heart is filled with a passion, then that passion and that love will give you the ability to push through the desire of the nafs. But if that's not there, then the nafs is too powerful. It's called hawa. In Arabic, the word for your desire is called hawa, like the wind, because it's just powerful. It's very, very powerful. So the only way to stop the push of the nafs is to have a heart that is already filled with another love or another fear. You feel me? That's what has to be in the heart in order for it to not be swayed so much by what the desires wants, what the nafs wants. So وَإِنَّكَ لَا تَنَالُ مَا تُرِيدْ إِلَّا بِتَرْكِ مَا تَشْتَهِي. How do you do that? Muhabba, love, or fear. It has to be really deeply inside your heart. وَلَنْ تَبُلُغَ مَا تُعَمَّلُ. And you will never reach what you hope for, what you aspire for, except if you have sabr, you have patience, perseverance, عَلَى مَا تَقْرَهُ, on things that you don't like. So you don't like it, it hurts, it's difficult. You know what I'm saying? You're training, you're pushing through. It's hard, but you'll never get where you want to go. You'll never get those gains if you're not able to push through what you don't like. Then, now today's lesson, bismillah. Today's lesson is a heavy one, yo. وَرْضَى بِمَا أَرَادَكَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Be pleased, be content. The word in Arabic is رِضَى. اِرْضَى بِمَا أَرَادَكَ اللَّهُ. Be pleased with what God intends for you. Be pleased with what God intends for you. قال ابن مسعود. Ibn Mas'ud, he's an amazing companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's a dark complexion man. He was very skinny too. He was so skinny, he was climbing a tree in front of the Sahaba and they saw his ankles because his thob, he pulled it up to climb. And the Sahaba, a lot of people think Sahaba were a bunch of stoics, man. They start roasting them. I'm serious. They're like, yo, look at his legs, yo. Look at his legs. He's skinny. The Prophet was right there too. The Prophet's like, yeah, but these, wait till you see the weight of these legs on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Done. Roast me all day. I'm good. Okay. So he was someone who the Prophet ﷺ said, in a way, there's no hijab in our house. You can just come in. You're good. He's an amazing sahaba, amazing sahabi. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. Did I say he was dark complexion? Oh, I can just maybe. Irda bima qasam Allahu lak. Be pleased with what God, this is what Ibn Mas'ud said. Be pleased with what God has apportioned for you. Takun min aghna nas. You will become the most wealthy of people. This is what Ibn Mas'ud said. So here we have an interesting, the quote goes on, but I'm going to break this down for a moment. So here we have this concept of rida. Rida is the word in Arabic. It means to be pleased. Now, truth be told, rida is literally one of the highest, if not the highest level of spiritual maturation that someone could aspire and reach. Rida is a level of contentment. It's beyond contentment. It's where you're completely happy and pleased with whatever comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no reservation in your heart from what comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there's one hadith that comes to mind. So the opposite of rida is sakht. And sakht is to be angry. So there's a hadith where Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was talking about hardships. And at the end of the hadith, he says, فَمَنْ رَضِيَ فَلَهُ الرِّضَى وَمَنْ سَخِتَ فَلَهُ السُّخْتِ. Now this hadith is interesting because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, look, whatever God ordained is going to happen whether you like it or not. Whatever God ordained is going to happen, like it or not. You choose what? Reaction. You choose what? Reaction. How am I going to respond to that? Now, like I told y'all last week, you know, like, subhanAllah, when you got little kids, man, you know what I mean? Like, this can go down easy or hard. Sometimes you got to tell him, you don't know yet, bro. You're going to know soon. Don't worry. You don't know. He still got an infant, so he don't know. But when you got toddlers, sometimes you got to let them know, yo, this could go smooth or it could go rough. It's up to you. It's up to you. So Allah, this hadith tells us, look, qada is happening. Qada means what, by the way, guys? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for me and you. But your response to it is what you control. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ رَضِيَ, whoever becomes content, happy. Wait, but how can I be happy? How can I be happy when it hurts, when it's hard? That's the deep question. Oh man, yo. You ever been in love, yo? You better say yeah. She can literally, your wife can see you, bro. You should, you be like, you should have been like, Ben Am. What do you mean, Ben Am, yo? No, Imam Ghazali says this. Imam Ghazali says, he says, listen. He says, Ridha, I'm going to say it in Arabic, I'll translate it. He says, Ridha is thamaratul muhabba. Ridha is the fruit of love. And he gives some amazing examples. He goes, when you see someone's heart filled with love, they will go through difficulties and not even think twice. They won't even, you'll be like, bro, how you doing that? He's just like, I can't explain it. There's a poem in Arabic I read to someone once. Halal, bro. فَيَا عَجَبَ لِلنَّاسِ يَشْتَشْرِفُونَنِي كأن لم يرى محبا قبلي ولا بعدي يقولون لي اسلم يرجع عقل كله والصرم حبيب العقل حبيبي اذهب للعقل. الله الحمد لله, I got married, it worked. the poet says, فيا عجبا للناس يستشرفونني, what's up with people looking at me, يستشرفونني, looking at me, كأن لم يرى محبا قبلي ولا بعدي, like they never saw somebody in love before. يَقُولُونَ لِي إِسْرِمْ, they say to me, cut it off, man. Cut the relationship off. يَرْجِعْ عَقْلْ كُلْ, your brain will come back to you. He says, وَصَرْمُ حَبِيبِ وَصَرْمُ رَسِلْ حَبِيبِ أَذْهَبُ لِلْأَقْلِ, he's like, cutting off the rope to my beloved will take my mind away even more. Imam Ghazali says, look, you could use it later, but she's here, so it won't work. Imam Ghazali says this, when there's muhabba, a person is able to go through difficulties either because they know it pleases the Habib, the Mahbuba, the one they love, or because they know the results of what that thing is going to give them. I'm gonna say that again. When you have love for someone and what's happening in life is their irada, then I love it because you love it. That's it. I love it because you love it. It's like the people who love Medina just because the Rasul sallallahu alaihi is there. That's it. Done. It's hot in Medina. What do you mean it's hot? It feels great. I love it. And then the other thing Ghazali says is you love it because what it's going to gain you from the Habib, from the Muhabb, the one that you love. So he says, Imam Ghazali says, Ridha, this contentment, this being pleased with even the difficulties, it comes when you understand that all of this is coming from Allah. And I love you, Ya Allah. I love everything coming from you, Ya Allah. Is this what you want from me? Alhamdulillah. Yo, but I got a question. So this contentment, I'm pleased with who I am. I'm pleased with where I am. I'm pleased with what I have. A big part of contentment in our age of accumulation and just getting more and more things, like Amazon. You shouldn't go on Amazon. Like after, there should be like some type of like child safety after Isha for Amazon. There should be something that stops you from being able to buy. Man, because last night I was about to buy, my wife was like, sleep on it. I woke up, I was like, I don't even need that, man. Yo, just keep it in your cart. Thank you. Great move. Thank you. I'm going to use that. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So this age, a lot of us, we want more. We want more. And I know we say it. We know the mantra. We know the saying, you can't buy happiness. More things. We know it, but we still do it. We still searching. We still going after it. We know it. We've heard this lecture before. We got to remember it. So here's my question. How do I become someone content with Allah's irada, but not someone complacent? You feel me? And is there a difference between the two? Definitely there's a difference. There's a huge difference between contentment and complacency. And I think this is the every time we come together, one of the things that we're trying to do is take these two extremes and come to the middle and balance them. Check this out. The idea of complacency is like a kasal. It's like a laziness. It's when you don't want to work to become better. When you refuse to improve yourself out of laziness. I don't need to do nothing else. That's it. I'm complacent. Now, what's the believer supposed to do? We're supposed to strive, become better, man. Keep going, knock out the next goal, go for something else. Keep going. Whatever your area is, keep striving for perfection. Inna Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay. Allah wrote perfection on everything. That's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So contentment is, this is the key. Contentment is when I'm striving my hardest to go forward, but I'm actually content where I'm at the moment. Like mind blown emoji, right? No? It's kind of weird, no? Because in order to push myself, I kind of need to be not happy where I'm at, right? But at the same time, contentment at every stage in my life, whether I just got a new gig, whether I just lost my gig, whether I'm stacked and chilling, don't need a gig, I have to have contentment at each stage. So that's why the believer is beautiful, because we're balancing these extremes. What are the extremes? I'm going to keep pushing to become better. But every step I make better, I'm always content in that place I'm at. That's jeep, yo. Allah give us that. Then the Prophet, then Ibn Masud, he said, if you develop this, you become aghnan nas. Now the word ghani in Arabic means to be rich. But it doesn't mean richness. It means to not need people. You're not needy. And so what the Prophet said, what Ibn Masud, and this is based off a hadith, what Ibn Masud is referencing, radiallahu an, is that the calmness that it creates within you is you feel free of need. I'm good, yo. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Yo, you need anything? No, I'm good. Everyone looking at you is like, yo, they need a lot. You're like, no, I'm good, yo. They're like, for real? You're like, no, I'm good. My heart is good. I'm happy. I'm striving. I'm trying, but I'm good. Allah, give us that. That's ghani when the hardest thing. And then he goes forward. So this is still the advice of Ibn Masud. Wajtanib ma harram Allahu alayka takun min awra'in nasi. Avoid what God has forbidden, and you will become the most pious of all people. Piety ain't hard, man. Just stay away from haram, yo. That's it. Don't overcomplicate it. Just something's haram. Just try your best. You fight it. Stay away. Become awra in nas. And what does he mean, awra in nas? It means the most righteous of all people. Like, what was the secret to these salaf as-salih that had these amazingly pious lives? Did they like just amazing dhikr for like 24 hours a day? They were reading Quran. No, they just stayed away from haram. So we focus on that, staying away from haram. And then he says, this is still the advice of Ibn Masud. وَأَدِّي مَفْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ, and do what God has ordained obligatory upon you. You will become the most obedient abdin nas, like the best servant of all people, the best servant. Now, this is important. What we're talking about here, this is super important. We kind of referenced this last week. Every single one of us in this room, We all know we got some basic fara'id that we all have to do, like pray, right? Zakat. But each one of us in this room, actually, based on our relationship with people, society, our job, whatever, we all have a different obligation before God. And what your job to do is to learn what obligation is on you right now and fulfill that obligation, right? Now, the hard part is life is never stagnant. It's just you, you and wifey and little dude, you and wife, little dude, little girl. Oh my, now, like, right? Life is constantly changing. Who knows? Someone just had like a hot flash, right? They were like, mom moving. Wait, hold on. No, never. Allah make it easy, yo. Allah make it easy. Yo, that's a big sacrifice, man. I ain't gonna talk about that. I shouldn't talk about that. All right, I'm gonna talk about that. Okay, we'll avoid that topic for today. What was I saying? No, what I'm saying is our obligation changes. So right now, if you're a young father, man, you need to be brushing up on the fara'id of the fatherhood, man. You know what I mean? You need to learn how to swaddle. You need to learn that stuff. If you're a new husband, a new wife, what are the fara'id on a wife? What do I got to learn to fulfill that obligation? And so Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, he says, look, the alim of deen, like the religious teacher, they have a fara'id of spreading the sunnah, teaching it. That's your fara'id. If you learned the deen and you just sit back and you're not doing it, you're not fulfilling that obligation. He says the hakim, the ruler, you're in charge. You have an obligation of fulfilling the rights of people. Make sure every person, and that's what Umar ibn Khattab, during the Khalifa, he's like, man, if there's even one person in the corner of this kingdom that's not getting their right, that's on me. Al-Ghani, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, he says the rich person has a different fard than the poor person. And so on and so forth. So I guess one of the things that distracts us is we keep looking at other people and, oh, we got to do what they're doing. You don't have to do what other people are doing. You need to learn what your fard is and fulfill that to Allah. Let me say that one more time. It's super important. Stop looking at other people and what they're doing and learn what your obligation before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right now. If you have an elderly mother, I'm going to give an example. Y'all, most of y'all from the Metroplex, some of y'all grew up here. Y'all know Sheikh Abdul Nasser. Do you know the level of service he's doing to his father right now? May Allah give him siha. Do you know the level of service? Like, I can't put it in words. Like, for months, we're not talking weeks. Months, hours next to his bed in the hospital. Then when he came, serving. And it's not, you sit with him, not a single complaint. It's like, yeah, alhamdulillah, yo. No, this is what's fard on me right now. This is what's fard. Some of us, oh, Baba got sick. Dang, why you gotta get sick right now? My marriage is coming up. Astaghfirullah. Why you gotta get sick right now? We about to buy a new kebab. Astaghfirullah. No, what is on you right now? Learn what it is. And alhamdulillah, this is my opportunity. This is my gate to Jannah right here. I'm just floored watching him, man. So again, I'm just saying that because these things come when we least expect it. But now, since we talked about it, inshallah, you'll be ready when that opportunity comes, whatever it may be. Okay, the next point. So that's the end of Ibn Mas'ud's statement. Imam Muhasibi, he says, وَلَا تَشْكُوا مَنْ هُوَ أَرْحَمُ بِكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرْحَمُكَ. Allahu Akbar, this is beautiful. So before I read this point, let me read it first and then I'm going to go into it. He says, do not complain about the one who is the most merciful to you, to those who will not have mercy upon you. Let me say it one more time. Do not complain about the one who is the most merciful to you, to people or others who will not have mercy upon you. The sunnah of Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, who lost his sons. Innama ashku, right? I complain to Allah. Buthi wa huzni ila Allah. What's the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, leaving Ta'if? Allahumma ilayka ashku du'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, I complain to you about the weakness, my weakness. So one of the things we learn from the awliya and the first off from the anbiya is learn to complain to God. Learn to. Now that sounds weird, right? It's not why God. It's expression of the difficulty, ya Allah, ana da'if. Like, let's just look at what the Prophet literally said. He left Ta'if, he was rejected, he was kicked out of that place. Right? Blood literally faints, and his words are, oh Allah, I complain about my weakness to you. This is not why God, no. Because that goes back to our conversation on Rida, being pleased with God. But to get it out, who am I going? And this is one thing that we struggle with a lot of times. And now I'm going to talk about this. Brotherhood and sisterhood is so important for faith. You need someone to talk to. You need someone to talk to. But the brothers and sisters around you need to help direct you. Sister, yo, make dua about that. Turn to Allah. What we fail to realize, you know, sometimes you ever see people crying in prayer and stuff, and you're like, dang, man, my heart's hard as heck, man. It'd be Ramadan, people be like crying, and you'd be like, you know what I mean? You're like, come on, y'all. Wake up. It's now or never. You know what I mean? It's game time, heart, let's go. Like, so listen, man, you know what? There are things that happen in life that break us, but we try to front and be strong and don't use that to create our relationship with Allah in that moment. There are things you will go through that are breaking you down. You feel like a baby. You feel weak. You're like, I don't know what to do. This is so hard. That moment right there is where your heart, that's where the tears in prayer come later. Because you're reading the ayah of Tawakkul and you remember back 6 months ago and you're like, ya Allah, you got me through. So what I'm trying to say is when the hardships come, they're gonna come. They keep coming. If you expect them not to come, wake up. They're gonna come. Okay, next hardship that come that really hits you, you gotta just turn to Allah with that. And what do I mean, turn to Allah? A lot of times it's like, ya Allah, I'm too weak. I can't do this, ya Allah. I don't know how to show you how to talk to God. You just gotta talk. You just gotta let it out. Sometimes, and you know what happens too? Sometimes it happens at the least expected moment. Welcome it. You'll be just driving down to 161, if you pay tolls, or 360, whatever. You'll be driving, and all of a sudden the heart feels heavy. Let that tear flow right at that moment. Don't pull over. Just keep, ya Allah, I'm weak. On cruise control. Let the heart turn to Allah in those broken moments. And then in other moments, you'll see the heart has that muscle memory. So use those difficult moments, whatever it may be. Use those moments now we use the word complain, to complain to God. Remember, not why. It's not why. Because if you look at Ta'if, at the end he said, if you're happy with me, I don't care. But if it was easier, that would be nice. He literally said that. If you're happy, I don't care. But if it's easier, that would be good. That was his complaint to God. That's what we got to learn how to do. Just open that heart. And we have the troubles, but we don't use the trouble to get us closer. Do you feel me? Allah make it easy. And then on top of that, now he says, now let's put his thing in context. He says, do not complain about the one who is the most merciful to you, to people who will not have mercy upon you. Now, I think it's interesting the way he said this, because we need people to help us, guide us towards what we need to do righteously. So when I call up my boy and I'm like, man, yo, this is, I can't, this is hard. What does he say? He's like, no, yo. And last week I was counseling him. This time it's my turn. He's like, no, come on, man, push, bro. You got this, turn to Allah, man. Turn to Allah, turn to Allah. So that call isn't me complaining to him, and he's not just sitting there like, yeah, yeah. He's directing me where to turn to. That's friendship right there. That's sisterhood right there. Not just sitting there like, yeah, you're right, girl. Yeah, yeah. No, guide them to goodness. Like, no, 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 come on. And you may be like, I'm not even doing that myself. So what? Next time you will. Next time you might have the more like, what's it called? Like tendency to lean in that direction after you gave that advice. Alhamdulillah. Allah give us tawfiq. So don't complain to people. And if someone comes to you with a difficulty, push them, man. Push them. Answer right away. Call right away. Drop stuff. Call. Answer the phone. Push them. Take them. Alhamdulillah. They'll get through it. Wasta'in billah. Seek help from God. Don't ask for help from other people. The Sahaba used to take bay'ah. Bay'ah is when they would hold his hand and they would pledge. Like they would do bay'ah on different things. So one of the things that the Sahaba used to take bay'ah on is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would actually say to them that you won't ask anyone for help. Your dependence is purely on God. The Sahaba say they would be riding on a camel and somebody would drop a whip. Now, for us, it's all like, metaphors that don't fit. But you got to imagine he has to get down. You know, he has to like sit the camel down. Then he has to get off the camel. Somebody's already walking. You're like, yo, hand me that. Nope. Because we only ask Allah. We only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reason this is important is to build a relationship. Let me say this again. The reason why you want to develop in the beginning a state where you only ask God is because you need to build a stronger relationship with Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, if you run out of salt at home, ask God. If your shoelace breaks, Riyadus Salihin, if your shoelace breaks, ask God. Like what? Like, it's such a small thing. Relationship building. Relationship building. Ask wife if you should something small. You know what I mean? Small things. She's like, yo, get yourself. What you doing? Now, relationship building. Ask for those small things. It builds that relationship. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you run out of salt. The salt example is beautiful because it's something that neighbors always have. So it's like not a big deal. The Prophet's like, no, before you ask them, ask God. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Build the relationship. Then here's the deal. Then when the bigger thing comes, okay. What happens when the big calamity comes and you start making more dua than regular? What's the first thing Shaitan says to you? Yeah. What was the word? Opportunistic. Ya'budullah ala harf. It's actually a verse. Fina sabu khayr al-tman nabi wa sabu al-dharra. So Shaitan's like, why are you making dua now? This will happen. Be ready. Put this in a checklist. Shaitan checklist. Like when you hear it, like, I already know. Peep game. No, seriously. What's going to happen? You start making dua during the hardship, Shaitan's like, what, bro? You never made dua before. Why are you so opportunistic? What I'm telling you right now is even now with the small stuff, start making dua too. Small stuff, making dua. Ya Allah, facilitate this for me and go with it. He says, wasta'in billah takun min ahlil khasatihi. He says, if you seek help only with Allah, you will become from the people of ahlil khasati. Ahlul Khasati means like the elite, like close people to Allah. You know what I mean? Like on Instagram, does you have that close friends joint? No, I don't know. I don't use it. Yeah, the meme people. You know what I mean? The meme people. The ulama have those groups too, yo. They be wilding in those groups, man. Shuyuk be tripping, man. I'm not even in the group. They don't let me in. You know what I mean? Let me in. I'd be like, yo, can I get in the group? They're like, yo, you don't want to be in here, dude. It's like, all right, cool. All right. Min ahlil khasatihi. So this quality of only seeking help from God is what makes you someone extremely close to God. Here's the problem. Since we were Qasim's age, we've been saying, I could do it myself. I could do it myself. Qasim is my son. I could do it myself. Think about how long your little brother or sister or your own child, they keep telling you, I could do it. I could do it. I could do it. I could do it. So what happens is, it's hard for us to say, I can't do it. I can't, ya Allah, I can't. It's hard. We've been saying it since we were four. I can do it myself. I got in trouble with my grandmother. She passed away. I got in trouble one time because I was young. I kept saying I could do it. She said, if you say I could do it, I'm going to hit you with this spoon so hard, boy. I can't do it. That was back when hitting was okay, guys, okay? We weren't woke back then, okay? I told Murphy, I was like, yo, what's wrong with hitting, man? Like, I came out fine. He's like, did you? He's like, did you really? I was like, yeah, that's a good point. Like, I don't know what I could have come out to. Okay, Bismillah, salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Qala Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu an, fi wasiyatihi li ibnihi. This is beautiful. Ubadah bin Samit, he said to his own son when he was giving him advice, Ya Allah. Ya Bunayya. Ya Bunayya. أظهر اليأس مما في أيدي الناس فإنه غنى وإياك والطمع وطلب الحاجات إلى الناس فإنه فقر. His advice is all about poverty and richness. He says, O son, show, what's the word? Hold on. He says, son, show your lack of desire for what is in the hands of people. This is true richness. Okay, whatever the people have in their hands, if you want that, they control you. That's supply and demand. That's market value. Whatever is in the hands of people, if you want it, they got you. When I read this, you know the first thing that came to my mind? Likes and attention on social media. It's literally in their hands. Like, take out of your heart any concern for what is in the hands of other people. Whatever's in their hands, I don't want that. I don't need it. Now, some of us were like, well, hold on. No, this doesn't make sense with wealth. It doesn't make sense with money. But whose hands is that in? That's what we came here for, a reset, like system reboot, yeah. Like, whose hands is that risk in, yo? It's in Allah's hands. You gotta believe that. That risk is not in the hands of your boss, by no means. It's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not even based on, like, low key, one scholar in this book, it comes later, is like one of the signs that risk is in the hands of Allah is the absolute ignoramus that's wealthy and the absolute intelligent person that's poor. Like, complete fools, like Lambos, everything. It's in the hands of God. He gives whatever. What is it? Kullun yumiddu ha'ula'i min ata'i rabbik. What's the verse? What's the verse? Surah Bani Israel. From the beginning? Yeah, كُلٍّ نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ أَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ. Allah says this, Allah gives this to everyone. This dunya is not like, it doesn't mean God loves you. But my point is that's in the hands of God, not in the hands of people. And that's something we got to keep reminding ourselves. No, that's in the hands of Allah. That's in the hands of Allah. So he says, show. Now, what I find interesting is the word أَظْهِرِ الْيَأْسَ. Show a lack of desire. You know what that tells me? It may be in you a little bit, but never show that you want the dunya. Like, fight it. Don't let it just come out. Control that. Push that down. What will that do? That will make you ghina. That will make you rich. I'm good. I don't need what you have. I'm okay. وَإِيَّاكَ وَطَمَعَ. And beware of tama. So the word tama, what does tama mean in Arabic? Anyone know? Tama. It means desire, it means covetousness, it means greed. You know what I heard one scholar say? This is pretty deep. If you could like picture the Arabic words, think of a ta, right? Look at a ta, if I drew a ta for you, right? It's pretty cool actually. Let me just show you this real quick. Like a ta, right? You see like what a ta looks like? And then tama, a meme. See like a meme? I got very bad handwriting, okay? Meme. And then an ayin. You know, one scholar, he said, all of these letters are hollow in the middle because the nature of greed is you never get filled. The nature of greed is that you nothing can fill this. That's why they're all hollow inside. Because that's what a greedy person is. They just never get enough. It's never get enough, never get enough, never get enough. It's very interesting. So he said, Iyaka wa tama. Iyaka wa tama. Beware of this like greed, wanting more and more and more and more and more. Why? Because فَإِنَّهُ فَقَرٌ, it's constant poverty. Now this all goes back to a hadith, and I was like, I gotta share this hadith. Where's the hadith? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. I wrote it down for you. Ah, yes, beautiful hadith. This is one of those hadith, whenever you hear it, it's just like resets you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in this hadith, listen closely. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لَوْ كَانَ لِإِبْنِ آدَمْ لَوْ كَانَ لِإِبْنِ آدَمْ وَادِيًا مِنْ ذَهَبْ. If the son of Adam had one valley of gold, a valley, yo, a valley. Right now, what do we all say? Nah, yo, just 50 grand, I'm good, yo. I'm good, that's it, I'm good, for real. Come on, man, who are you kidding, yo? No, for real, for real. One house, I'm good. 1,500 square feet, I'm good. That don't happen, man. What happens to us? And you know what's so beautiful? It's our nature. It never stops. There's a hadith. I don't have the words. I have it here. I'll share it with you. The Prophet ﷺ said that after all of the people have been taken out of hellfire. Now, this is scary because it's talking about people like that they have faith, but their sins landed them in hell. May Allah protect us. Allah protect us, man. So this is the last person. And this person is begging Allah, and begging Allah. And he says, Ya Allah, if you just let me right outside, I don't want nothing else. You know, this hadith is beautiful. It's like, I'll be good. I'll be good. Just let me outside the gates of hell. I won't ask for nothing else. The hadith says Allah will say nothing else. He said, nothing, nothing. It's all I can want. That's it. Allah says, okay, go. That's where you go. A short while later, he sees a tree. He sees a tree with some shade. It looks beautiful. He starts making dua again. Ya Allah, just that tree, that's it. Whoa, I thought you said, no, but that's all, that's it. It's like our children, man, yo. That's it. I'm speeding up the hadith for time. He goes, okay, go there. Now this happens one or two more times, but then he gets to a point where he asked to be next to a tree that's right at the gates of Jannah. But now he can see everything in Jannah. They chilling in there, yo. Can't window shop. He can see everything. And he asks Allah again. And as I said last week, you know what we need to walk away from these halakas remembering? Allah is Kareem. What does Kareem mean? He gives to those who don't deserve. Because a lot of us, shaitan keeps telling us, you don't deserve that, you don't deserve that. And be like, yup, you're right. That's why I believe in Kareem. Allah al-Kareem. I don't deserve it. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, that's it. The games are over. Enter into this Jannah. You get a Jannah 10 times the size of the earth. The man, he laughs. He says, you are Lord of the universe, but you joking with me? Allah says, I'm not joking. This is yours, go. The point is, we're never satiated. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, let me finish the hadith we started with. لو كان لي ابن آدم واديا من ذهب أحب أن يكون له واديا. He'd want one more too. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these words, and they're so beautiful. He said, ولم يملأ فاه إلا التراب. Nothing will fill his mouth except dirt. The language is so beautiful because the Prophet is saying that this desire won't stop until you die. You ever see like old people that are like billionaires and in the back of your head, you're like, but you're like 70, bro. Like, I'm sorry. I think about this stuff. It's kind of weird for me. It's like, but you're 70, dude. And I mean, if you're 70, you're stuck with a love screwed. 70 is a great age. Okay. How can I fix this, yo? I'm done. Huh? No, I can't judge an age, bro. What I'm trying to say is like you've reached a high age, okay? Whatever high age there is, okay? And you still want more. You still want more. You still want more. You still want more. And younger people, okay, and that's relative. So anyone younger, me, I'm like mid to upper 30s to a 17-year-old, I'm like dead. For real. Like 17, 16, I'm like, yo, he's old, man. He's old. But to some of y'all, it's like, yo, he's young, yo. To me, I'm young. What I'm trying to say is it never stops. Here I am about to reach 40 and I'm like, no, yo, we got a stack, yo. We got more we can do. It never stops. So, but here, why do we need that information? Because I understand myself more. And my nuffs, when it's like, get more, I'm like, yo, why you playing, nuffs? You always want more. It's about understanding yourself. So the beauty of the phrase, وَلَمْ يَمْلَأْ أَنْفَاهُ إِلَّا تُرَابٍ, is beautiful because when you consume, you normally consume through the mouth to get more and more and more. And the prophet's like, no, nothing's ever going to fill you except when the dirt is filling your mouth. And that's it. At that point, the desires will die. And that's the only time you ever feel satiated. Unless we choose. وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ تَابٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts those who do tawbah. Just one more line. Last line. I really wanted to cover this line. This is not connected to the previous line. As you guys know, muhasibi, they're broken fragments. Like they're fragments of knowledge. It's not all connected. So what does he say next? وَإِذَا صَلَّيْتَ فَصَلِّي صَلَاتَ مُوَدَّئٍ. This is muhasibi. He says, وَإِذَا صَلَّيْتَ, when you pray your salah, صَلِّي صَلَاتَ مُوَدَّئٍ. What does this mean? Wida in Arabic is when you bid farewell. Wida is when you bid farewell. So you probably, you know, it's funny. You know, you a new Muslim, and sometimes the imam, he'd be like, pray this salah as if it's your last prayer. And you kind of be like, yo, I didn't get the memo, yo. I didn't get the memo, yo. What's going on after this prayer? I got to call my mom, tell her I love her. No. So sometimes you'll hear the imam say, pray this like salat to muwadda'ah. Pray this like a prayer you're leaving. So let's talk about this. A lot of us complain of lack of khushu, focus, awe in the prayer. And the reason that happens is we don't realize a few aspects of prayer. One of the things that really will help you improve your prayer is the tasawwur, or the thought that this is the last opportunity I have to pray this prayer. Now, you're not lying to yourself, because it could be. No joke. Facts, right? Is that when they say no no cap? Is that how you use it? Is that good? Is it old now, though? It's old now, right? No cap? Okay. Whatever, I'm getting too old. Yazin, don't worry, man. Don't worry. It's still there? It sounds weird, man. Whatever. Anyways. No, seriously. I lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. Almost said I had to say Muhammad. One way to make our prayer a lot better is when we have this concept in our mind. If I told you, if you've lost your mother, I know it may be hard. I'm just giving an example. If I told you this is the last week you have with your mother, what happens to your correspondence with her in this last week? Last day. If I told you this is the last opportunity, whatever it is, when you realize this is my last chance, then it ups the value of that interaction. And so what we're doing is we're reminding ourselves, Mikhail, when I pray Maghrib today, if I make it to Maghrib, inshallah, I don't get another chance to make this Maghrib. It's done. I never get today's Maghrib. It's gone forever. So pray it like it counts, because it does. Now, what does muwadda mean? There's two meanings for muwadda, meaning bid farewell. Pray it like you're going to pass away yourself. That's one meaning that I just explained. So you're like, yo, this is my last prayer. I may not get a prayer after this. Who knows? Who knows? Traffic be crazy, man. Who knows? Allahu alam, yo, seriously. So this may be my last prayer. Let me get it in here. Let me make this one of focus. The other thing is salatul muwadda, and muwadda means to put things behind you. So when you start the prayer, you put everything behind you. You put everything behind you. Everything behind you. So that's the two meanings of Salat al-Muwadda. May Allah give us that level of focus in the prayer. Remember, the way you're going to build that, the way we're going to build that is we're going to really feel that thought that I'm not going to get this prayer back. And the other thought is, let me put everything behind me for a moment. Nothing matters. Like some say the hikmah of raising the hands, this is just like hikmah, wallahu alam, right? It's like you're throwing the dunya behind you, right? Wallahu alam, right? Allahu Akbar, right? I'm throwing it back behind me. It's gone, right? Wallahu alam. Tayyib. Alhamdulillah. May Allah accept. May Allah accept. Alhamdulillah. May Allah make this knowledge something that sticks in our hearts and give us the strength to get through difficulties that we face and make us of people who help others through difficulties. May Allah make us of people who help one another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the nur of whatever we've learned in our hearts, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and give us ridha. We ask Allah for contentment, ya Allah, but no complacency, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you, ya Allah, to give us the tawfiq to stay away from haram, ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to stay away from haram, ya Allah. Ya Allah, and give us a love in our hearts that battles and pushes back the desires of the lower nafs. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khair. Allahu Akbar. One of my friends, he just texted me. He said, the higher you go in relation to Allah, the smaller the dunya looks. SubhanAllah. Gotta call that brother up. Allah. The smaller the dunya looks, man. SubhanAllah. Allah give us tawfiq. You out? No khutbah. Yeah, I'm chilling. Alhamdulillah. Naeem, can you get your boy? Get your son, yo. He's right here. Sada, can you bring him? Can you grab him? Can I see him? I mean, he's not a toy, but like. Support.